Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Fantastic. Well, it's brilliant to be in Pneuma East. It's good to see you. Greetings from sunny Brisbane. I got out this morning, it's a little different than back home. But this is kind of home now, so it's kind of fun. We bless you. Hello to everybody in the 11 a.m. service. The early bird gets the worm, so there's no worms left. But I trust that God speaks to you during our gathering here as well. So we're going to open our Bibles today, the book of Acts. Somebody likes the book of Acts. There was a little whoop whoop up here, which is very cool. A little while ago, I wrote a book called My Father's Son, and my life involves a lot of men's conferences and men's events, and, you know, people get the book, and I am often asked to sign it, and often when I sign the book, I listen to somebody's story, and after I write, you know, Dear John, enjoy this book, Wayne, I often write this little verse underneath it, Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6 simply says that the God who began a good work will continue to do it. I honestly believe every one of us should wear t-shirts that say under construction, because God has not finished with us yet. He has not finished with us yet. He's not finished with you. How many are glad he's not finished with me? He's not finished with your neighbor. Hey, he's not finished with your spouse. How good is that? He is still at work. And he's not finished with his church. He's not finished with this church. And I'm so excited. I'm excited to see what God is doing in this season. And in recent days, I've been really drawn to one verse that highlights what I'm sharing. Acts chapter 1. I'm reading the whole book of Acts again at the moment. I'm reading with a group of friends, and we're reading a chapter a day and dialoguing what God is saying to us out of those very exciting chapters. But I started in Acts 1, and I got to the first verse, and I stopped. I'm not a guy that's very good at journaling. I start to journal, I end up drawing boats. So I don't do that. What I'm really in a habit of doing is underlining words. And I underline this word. You'll catch it. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. I wrote about all that Jesus began to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. I wrote to you about all that Jesus began to do and teach. It was Dr. Luke who wrote this book. He also wrote his gospel, the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. In my former book, Theophilus, he wrote, which caused a friend to ring me one day. His name was John. He was a brand new follower of Jesus Christ. And as somebody that made the greatest decision of his life, we gave him a Bible to celebrate it. We said, hey, listen, every day of your life, prioritize reading this book. So he got into it, and a couple of weeks later, I got a phone call late one night. I was almost ready to go to bed. And he was a bit of a bright lad, even more, you know. No, he wasn't a bright lad. He rings me. He wasn't into grammar. That's a polite way of saying it. He rings me. He says, "Mate, you've given me a cheap Bible." I said, "Why?" He said, "There's a book missing." I said, "What do you mean there's a book missing?" He said, "Mate, I'm telling you, there's a book missing in my Bible." He said, "I've looked in the index, it's not there." I said, "No, there's 66 books, it's all there." He said, "No, I'm telling you, there's a book missing." I said, "What book?" He said, "The book of Theophilus." I said, "You're not into grammar, are you, John?" He said, "There's a comma after the word book. In my former book, Theophilus." Theophilus isn't a book of the Bible, it's a friend of Luke. It's a person. His name means lover of God. Theophilus, lover of God. So, hey, here's the deal. This book is written to everybody who loves God. Anybody in the room like that? So I said, no, this is a friend of Luke's. He was possibly a sponsor of Luke's efforts in writing this book. And he says, I wrote to you, my friend Theophilus, about the things that Jesus began to do. What he was referring to is his gospel. Let me read you from his gospels. In the first chapter of Luke 1, he says, in verse 3, he says, I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, speaking about the works of Jesus. He said, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you might know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. Luke wrote in his gospel what Jesus began to do. Luke's gospel begins with the birth of Jesus' second cousin, John the Baptist. It tells of his story. It gives the narrative of what he did and began to share the kingdom of God coming. And then it continues the birth of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, and then ultimately his death, resurrection, and ascension back into heaven. And the book of Acts is part two of the story of the kingdom of God. And I'm intrigued by that word that comes in that first verse. He says, I wrote to you in my former book about what Jesus began to do. Here's the deal today, friends. I'm here to report that what Jesus began to do, he is continuing to do in the earth today. He said, I wrote to you. He's still at work. God's redemptive story did not end with the resurrection. God's redemptive story did not end when he returned to the Father. God's redemptive story did not end on the day of Pentecost. God's redemptive story did not end at the end of Acts chapter 28. It continues today in Acts 29, 30, 31, and 20:25. And you and I are a part of it. Somebody get excited. Hey, what he began to do, he continues to do. And guess where he continues to do it? In and through the church. In and through the church. In 2019, Lynn and I were at the site of Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi. And some of you are aware of that place because right there is where Jesus made the declaration that we know in Matthew 16, 18, where Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And a lot of us read that statement, the gates of hell, and we think it's that figurative place of evil and darkness, hell. But actually, the gates of hell was what that place right there was called. Because all kinds of evil was happening there. All kinds of activity that was demonic and was vile. And Jesus said, let me tell you something. I am going to establish in the earth this force that not even the most wicked thing on the planet will be able to stop its advancement. I love what Peterson wrote in the Message version of that verse. He says, somebody will possibly get excited when I read this. He says, I will put together my church, a church, so here's two big words, expansive with energy, that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. I'm in love with the church. I'm in love with another man's woman. The church, the bride of Christ. Look at you looking at me. What? See, the church is more than a social club. The church is an amazing network. I'm going to tell you something. We've got more contacts than the mafia across the planet. You are one or two phone calls from being rescued anywhere on planet Earth if you're a follower of Jesus. I found that out in Madagascar. I was in Madagascar in the month of May. I told my friends at Visa and MasterCard, I use the word friends lightly, but I contacted them and I said, hey, listen, I'm going to be in South Africa on these dates and then I'm going to be in Madagascar. I just need to make sure I have no problems with my cards because there's one Australian dollar to 3,000 in Madagascar. I thought, that's going to be bad. So I said, I don't want to carry cash. My travel agent and the bank said, you're fine, just pull it out of the wall at an ATM. Guess what? Every ATM blocked mine and Lynn's cards. We were stuck. But one phone call to a young Aussie serving Jesus in Madagascar, my problem was fixed. It was a little awkward that we were the only white people in the foyer of the hotel when a young man rides in on a motorbike with a motorbike helmet with a wad of cash. Nothing suspicious there. But I just said to Lynn, how good's the church? You're one phone call, no matter what part of the planet you're on. There's a brother or sister somewhere on planet Earth that's a follower of Jesus. It's amazing. But I'm going to tell you something. We're more than a social club. We're more than a support group. We're God's plan to bring his great story of love and hope to the planet. He has no plan B. We're empowered by the Holy Ghost. And the book of Acts documents the start of it, but then it continues. But it's far more than a book of history. It's a book of encouragement to say that, hey, Jesus gave us this thing called the Great Commission. Say, Great Commission. He gave us the Great Commission to go into all the world, preach the gospel. And he said, I'm not going to let you do this on your own. I'm not going to do it with your own educational strength. I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit so that that thing can be fulfilled. And so in this season of Pneuma, when God is bringing about a renewal amongst our hearts, my deep prayer, our prayer, your leader's prayer, is that God would create within all of us a fresh hunger for the Holy Spirit and a fresh desire to use what he gives us to help mankind know how good our God is. You see, at the start of Jesus' ministry, what Jesus began to do, you may recall it if you've read those parts of the gospel. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, not much is told of his childhood except his parents lost him at church. Hey, that's a relief for all of us. Even Joseph and Mary lost Jesus. How many of your parents are glad about that? Anybody ever leave their kids at church? I'm the only one. My parents forgot me, but I think there was a reason. But anyway, Jesus is lost. He's at the temple arguing with the scholars, and not much is told about him until he gets to 30. He's baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And then he goes into the desert. He's tempted by the devil in every area. And the Bible says he returns and the power of the Spirit doesn't yield the temptation. And on his return, he goes into the synagogue and he picks up the readings of the day. And this is what he reads. We have it recorded in the book of Luke, but he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, here's a big word, because. I lead another church in southeast Queensland. It's called Hope Centre. And every building we have has these three words on the side of it in huge letters. Because people matter. Because people matter. I had the Prime Minister of Australia in church a few times. And he looked at that one day and he said, that's a great motto. I said, it's not a motto. It's a reason behind everything we do. Because Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do what? Proclaim good news for the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight to the blind. He set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He said, you know what? I've been anointed. The power of heaven is upon me. The Holy Spirit's upon me. Not just so that I might have this wonderful spiritual experience for myself. No. He's empowered me so that the kingdom of God can be advanced as men and women, boys and girls, discover how magnificent the love of God is. I summarize Luke 4:18 and 19 with this. The Spirit of God's upon me because God cares for bound, blind and broken humans. That's why he's anointed me. And he launches his ministry. He teaches profound truths. He heals the sick. He sets people free. And then what does humanity do in response? They put him on a cross. He dies for our sins. Tomb couldn't hold him. How good's that? They go looking for, remember that? That amazing, we celebrate it almost every Easter Sunday. The women go to find Jesus and the angel says, why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here, for he is. He has risen. And then, can you imagine his disciples? They watch him get crucified. He's now alive again. I think, this is going to be amazing. He says, hang on, I'm not hanging around long. But you know what? I'm going to give you the same power that I had to see the same things happen in your generation. The power of the Holy Spirit. And Luke was a physician. He was actually a medical doctor. And he goes to great lengths to remind us of Jesus' humanity. See, Jesus was very God, but he was also very man. He was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. And what he did on the earth during his earthly ministry, he didn't do just in the power of his divinity. He did it under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Luke, again, writing a little further in the book of Acts, he says, God anoints, in verse 38 of Acts 10, he says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around doing good and healing all that were under the power of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. See, what Jesus can, what he began in his human body, he now continues through his global body, the church. The church. The gospel spreading, the kingdom of God is advancing all around the globe. Right now, there are billions of followers of Jesus. Not because we're this clever network that's got all our ducks lined up and a good business plan. No, no, no. God is moving still. What he began thousands of years ago, he continues to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you and I are still part of his redemptive story. The great big story of the kingdom of God. You and I are part of it. See, the book of Acts is not ended. It continues to unfold in the 21st century. We can't overstate the importance of the church. The church is called the body of Christ. We're his hands. We're his feet. Called to demonstrate and declare his heart for people everywhere. I'm in awe of the church. It's incredible. It can't be stopped. Regimes have tried. Dictators have tried. Hell itself has tried. I've been in China a few times. And I've gone down roads and my guests have said, see that vacant block there? There was a building there recently. The people were worshipping in it. The next day they went and there was nothing left. Government had knocked it flat. And the church continues to move forward. I've spoken at conferences where the authorities have come in and stopped us in our tracks. Said that guy with white hair. He can't preach. Get rid of him. Stopped the meeting. Emptied the building. And yet the church continues to move forward. I spoke at Youth Alive rallies in China where literally I'd been smuggled out of one building into another and I said to my friend, where's the meeting? They said, we don't know. I said, what do you mean we don't know? It starts in 4 hours. They said, we'll know. And sure enough, when it was ready to start, 2,000 young people turned up. It's just fascinating to watch. The Church of Jesus. But I have a real concern, particularly in the Western world, that a generation has begun to believe a lie that we don't need the church. We're deconstructing everything. Let me tell you, young and old, we need the church. You don't just need an iPad to check out the best preacher from America. We need community. Hey, 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 we need this. We need to come together. Hey, let me tell you, you don't need the church to get saved. You don't need the church to continue to be a Christian. You just need the church so you don't get weird. And you don't get opinionated and you don't get selfish. Oh, but there's people in there that rub me up the wrong way. Yes, God's using them to take off your rough edges. You know, old grumpy guts in row 5, you need them. You pray for character development, God sent him. They sent him. You ask for patience, God sent Sister Lemon Sucker along just to help you. They're God's gift to you. We're family. And yeah, there's some strange one. Every family's got some weird uncles. And listen, if you don't know who it is, it's probably you. It's the church. Oh, the church is magnificent. We need it. You know, the Bible says, it's a great encouragement in the book of Hebrews. It says, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. Ready? Here's a big line. As the habit of some is. Most people that are addicted to nicotine didn't wake up one morning and say, you know what? I think I like to get a very expensive addiction. They just had one. And then another. And then another. That's like the habit of just no longer valuing church. We just choose a lifestyle moment. Oh, we're just going to get a little bit into that. We're just slowly but surely get... No. Let me tell you, drift happens unintentionally. And we can drift away from the family. We can drift away from the presence of God. We can drift away from our love for what God is doing in and through His church. Let's commit to it. Ephesians, Paul writes, and I'm encouraged by this. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, he says, God placed, speaking of Jesus and all that He'd done, he says, God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything. Here's some big words, for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. The preceding verses celebrate Jesus' victory, His power, His authority, and all that He began to do. And now today He continues to do it through the unstoppable church. See what God has begun here. Great facilities. Wonderful stories of God beginning to touch lives, and I've heard some of them. It's wonderful, but this is not the end. We're just in the beginning of a brand new era for our church. Can somebody say amen? Amen. You know, I've been intrigued at what God is doing around the earth right now. I was getting reports just this week of in the summer break in universities in America, there's just this phenomenal revival where hundreds of kids are getting saved in one moment. In the UK, there is something that is happening in a part of the world which was considered dead and dying and a lost cause. There's what is being called a quiet revival. I'm not sure revivals stay quiet for long, but it's quiet. You know, 56% of people, there's an increase of 56% of more people in church attendance than there were just 5 years ago in the UK. Here's what excites me. Told you last time, I used to be involved in Youth Alive. I've moved into Barely Alive, but I'm particularly, yeah, it still works. I'm particularly interested in what God is doing in young people. Here's what one of the interesting statistics are, that what God is doing in the UK. The fastest growth of church life in the UK is in the 18 to 24-year-olds. 18 to 24-year-olds, where there is four times more people than there was 6 years ago. God is moving by His Spirit. What's happening here? This is what I want you to know. There's something very special happening here, but it's not exclusive to here. God is moving by His Spirit over all the earth. You and I are part of this global redemptive story. One researcher in Europe noted that there's been an assumption for many years that the church is on a steady and unavoidable trajectory of decline, with each generation gradually less engaged than their predecessors. However, the data turns all of these presumptions on its head. There's fresh openness for people that were once considered not Christian and uninterested in anything religious, that their hearts are opening and they're turning to God and they're engaging with the church. And furthermore to that, those that were spiritually dead are coming alive again. Next year, middle of the year, I'm speaking in three national conferences for the Assemblies of God group in all through Europe. And I'm going to tell you, I start talking to those leaders. God is moving in some of those places that were once considered dead. How many know that God actually sees, we see things as dead and He just sees them as an opportunity to bring new life? That's what our God does. And I've seen the church. I've seen her empowered and it's amazing. It's glorious. I've seen the church in mega cities around the globe. Mega churches in mega cities, phenomenal, standing with tens of thousands of people. It's like, oh, it's breathtaking. But some of the greatest moments for me in encountering the church have been in little villages, in developing nations. Maybe the very start of me going on a journey of ministry, believing for miracles, happened when I was 24, leading a team of missions in Fiji. We traveled a long way in this small vehicle, and then we had to walk up into a mountain and preached in a midweek in a little hut with no power to about 50 people. And I remember praying for this old lady that hadn't walked for over a decade. And I laid hands on her and simply used the words of Peter and John there in Acts 3. Hey, listen, what we have we give you. In the name of Jesus, walk. That lady, by the end of that night, was dancing with us. She was so excited that she gave me the mat. Seriously, she gave me the mat that she'd sat on for a decade. And I took it home. Somehow I got it through customs. And I kept it in my house for maybe 15 or 20 years. And I said, Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. What you began when you walked the earth, what you began when you began to pour your spirit out and use those early apostles, you are still doing it today. So my assignment today is to tell you people that God is at work. He hasn't finished with you. He hasn't finished with us. These are great days, but don't isolate it to what he's doing just in this building, just in your life. Be excited about what he is doing all around the globe in 2025 and beyond. There is an exciting new story that's happening in the earth. I've been in awe, you know, as I've witnessed the church, the body of Christ, what Jesus began, we continue to do, setting the captive free. We had a water baptism in Hope Center last Sunday. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but there are a few things that move me more than a water baptism service. And I heard story after story of people that had addictions and people whose lives were so messed up until somebody shared with them the wonderful message of Jesus. And they come out of the water after being baptized and their eyes are lighting up and you see what a transformation. You tell me anywhere on the planet that happens like that. It's extraordinary. I've seen the church, you know, Jesus fed the multitudes. I've seen the church feed the multitudes. Maybe not with a few fish and bread, but as we show the kindness of God and we give warmth to those that are cold, that's the hands and feet of Jesus. That's who we are. Jesus was confined in his ministry to one body. Today he's released through a global body. It's exciting. There's nothing like this unstoppable force. Listen to what Jesus said. This verse, I found it profound and a little hard to process as a young believer. John 14:12. Jesus is preparing his followers to say, listen, I'm not going to be around forever. I'm not going to be here in the flesh forever, but what is going to happen is I'm going to go. Verse 12 of John 14, he says, I truly tell you, whoever believes in me, are there any believers in the room? Yeah. Whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. Now that's pretty exciting. Comma, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. What? Do you like that? Like, he raised the dead. He healed the crippled, the lame, and the blind. My goodness. He set the captives free. And he says, you're going to do even greater? Yeah. You need to, when you read it, sometimes go, what did he really mean? Well, I actually went into the Greek and I discovered that there are many words that the English can actually replace the word even greater with. And some of them is the word large. And here's the other one, more. I'm not sure that we can do anything greater than raise a Lazarus from the dead. I'm the son of a man that raised two people from the dead. Saw it with my own eyes. Tell you what, did that stir faith in my heart growing up? One was in the womb and one was dead on the floor. Saw it happen. Jesus said, you know, because I'm going back to the Father, the same Spirit that anointed me when I went around doing good is upon you. You've got to believe at your school and your college and your workplace and your family and your neighborhood that you can do the works that Jesus did. And with your brothers and sisters all around the globe, we're going to do even more than he did. It's amazing. Even more. Reaching the outcast, laying hands on the sick. See, the book of Acts, musicians, you need to come and join me because I'm heading off to the city in a moment. The book of Acts has got 28 chapters. And there are those who profess to be wise Bible teachers that say that all of the miracles ended in the apostolic age of the early church. When we had the canon of scripture as it was contained, it was closed. That was the end of it. What a terrible way to live. No. No, no. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, and he will quicken your body. And let me tell you, I believe he is quickening. He's making alive his church again. We're believing for more. We're not looking in the rearview mirror talking about what was, whether it's good or bad. We're looking forward with faith that what Jesus began to do, even greater things he'll do. Oh, Pneuma Church has got an amazing history, but I can believe that the best is still ahead of us as we pursue together in faith, in unity, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. How can we see if those things happen? Well, Jesus told us, didn't he? Acts 1:8. Come on. It says, you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. You know, we're almost as far from the Middle East as you can get on the planet. The kingdom of God is continuing to advance. Touch the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. Touch Melbourne and Victoria and Australia. Come on, God is moving by his Spirit. And what we do in his name doesn't have to come through our experience or our education. Those things are important, but there's nothing like the power of the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at pneuma.church. Thanks for listening.